Becker on Darren, Donick, and Chase. We're live here at Centennial Sportsplex. Our show is presented by Curation CBD. Curation CBD products curated for life. Appreciate Predators head coach John Hines for sitting down and talking with us. We were actually talking about it during the break. It is crazy. I know the listeners out there, they don't care, but for us to be around the team as much as we have been and as long as he's been at the post, that was like the first time we've ever really interviewed him in person.
Yeah.
So that was a little odd. Now, let's interview another first, Chase. I don't believe we've ever talked to our next guest. I'm pretty sure that we haven't, and I don't know why. That's got to change.
We've got to fix that.
And we're going to fix it right now. Carl Taylor, who is the head coach with the Milwaukee Admirals, and they're back, right? They're back at it. That was weird last year, right? No.
Yeah.
And I know you helped out with the Wolves and the situation in Chicago, but it was just strange how, speaking of that whole timeline with John Hines, everything shut down. You didn't come back, like return to play in the NHL, and then it wasn't there last year. So it's been gone for like a year and a half, basically.
Yeah, no, the whole staff in Milwaukee, obviously our coaching staff's excited to get back doing what we do and have a more regular season than we had last year. Last year we were supporting our prospects and doing what we had to do to get through our tough circumstance. Obviously people around the world had things way worse than we were dealing with. So 2-hour commute down and back every day, we dealt with it. It's all good. We're very excited about the new season. Obviously our fans, our support group we have in Milwaukee, our front office there, they're very excited. I know they put the ice in yesterday, so we're all looking forward to a much more real regular season coming up.
A lot of guys that we talked about all last season, guys we just talked about with John Hines, are guys you're very familiar with. You've watched their journey. You've been a part of their path to get to where they are. And so I'm sure none of this, unless you tell us otherwise, was a surprise. But, I mean, were we familiar with Carrier? Yeah, of course. We've been sitting here watching him do this for years, but he's been going back to Milwaukee. And he got his opportunity last year, and he shined, and he never looked back. And not only did he burst onto the scene, he was logging 25 minutes a game. What were you seeing in Milwaukee? Because obviously you're having the constant use, Scott Nickel, David Poole. You guys are having the constant communication for what was going on with his development to what we saw last year. What were you seeing all that gap in between that earned him the right, and now he's going to be a full-time starter?
Yeah, I think with to start off, every player has a different path.
Sure.
We never know how it's going to go for them. It's just different. It's very individualized. We focus on trying to get the most out of each player. Alex had he was a young man, came into the pro hockey. He got a few games, and then he was almost a year and a half without playing games in the NHL. We knew what we had, and we knew what he was doing. And we tried to assist him and focus on certain areas of his game and we do this with every individual. Is we all got faults, right? So every player has things they have to work on. They're different for each player. And we try to pinpoint those as soon as we can and then come up with a plan to fill those holes so that they become a more complete player. I think we've done a good job in Milwaukee doing that because we are our communication skills, and we're very honest. We don't mess around. So if there's something going on, we'll ask the player real directly. Say, Alex, do you want to be in the NHL? Yes. Are you sure you want to be in the NHL? Yes. Okay, well, this conversation is not going to be fun because we're going to dig into some things that need to change and adjust that might hit a source point. So I think with the honest communication and how we go about it and having the player trust us, they understand what we're trying to do. And, hey, we're in Milwaukee, we want to win games because that's a big part of what we're doing. But within that, we want those players to overachieve and get their opportunity here in Nashville. And we tell them all the time, you got to bleed blue before you bleed gold, and that's part of the process. And he's done it, and his timing is now. He obviously came up and looked like a seasoned veteran when he got his opportunity.
Yeah,
that tells you that's a person that's overripe and ready to go. He's already gone through the ups and downs and being sent down, called up, all that kind of stuff. It was just his time, and now he's on to the next challenge.
I'm curious how you handle the mental part of it's easier for a guy like, let's say, Tomasino or Eli Tolvanen that are much, much younger in their development, or brand new Zachary LaRue or whatever, guys that are 18, 19, 20 years old. They kind of know that, you know, unless you're just the number one pick overall, more times than not, you're going to have to go through the system.
Yeah.
But when you had these guys that we saw, Carl, last year, like Olivier and Jeannot and Carrier, that are 23, 24. I remember us having these conversations with Austin Watson, who was a first-round pick, and it took till he was like 23 to really get a crack at making this roster. How tough is it to tell them, you know, because they know every year that goes by and they don't get a chance, like they're wondering, am I ever going to get a chance? That gets a little bit trickier, doesn't it? The older they get, and they still haven't had an opportunity.
Well, it's an interesting question from the viewpoint of it doesn't get trickier. They receive it better, I think, because when you're a young man and you're going through and you have an entry level contract, like a first year pro coming out, it's 3 years. They're like, okay, I'm a rookie this year. I have to go to Milwaukee. It's almost like they feel like that's what's supposed to happen. But that goes by fast, and all of a sudden you're in your last year of your entry-level contract, and now you're going, am I going to get another one? So, like, when you get an older player, like, even you can talk about the Blackwells, the Tenortis, Grimaldis, the people that came to Milwaukee and kind of a second-chance opportunity for them that eventually came here and did quite well as well. Those players know the window is getting shorter for them, like you mentioned, so you have their attention more. They're more dialed in and understand that this might be my last full crack at this. So when we have those honest conversations, they go in deeper and quicker. Whereas with a first-year player, sometimes it takes longer for them to process it and understand that because they know they have more time, or they feel they have more time. So it kind of works in the opposite direction because as you get older, they're understanding that the time and the window they have to reach their goals, it's getting tighter and tighter. And so they're going to listen and they're going to execute exactly what you want more, especially when that opportunity is presented in Nashville.
Connor Ingram, he got a chance to play in game one, played for, I think, a period and a half. Thought he looked good. Obviously nothing. He had pitched a shutout in a period and a half. A guy that has dealt with some off-ice stuff. Guy that came from Tampa who was a high draft pick. And the Predators have brought in David Rittich, you know, to serve as the backup. But now that Connor's back in the fold, what have you seen out of him? And, you know, I mean, I thought he looked good. And, you know, you never know. He may get an opportunity, you know, to serve as a backup or, you know, play a role with the Predators at the NHL level. What can you tell us about Connor Ingram to this point?
I'm really proud of him. You know, he had some challenges last season, and he stared them down and he's addressed them. And it's an ongoing process for anyone going through that. And I'm super proud of him. The way he played in that game, you know, he didn't just play in that game and just show up and all of a sudden he's playing as he was the last time we were together in Milwaukee. He looked very calm. But he's also been here for 2.5 months in Nashville, paying his own freight as far as hotels and making that financial commitment to be here, to train, to be on the ice, to be working out with Goody in the gym. He's done all those things on his own, knowing he had to fight for his career a little bit. So I'm really proud of how he played in that game. He looks great on the ice. I think a lot of us are cheering for him. It does seem he's going to start the season with us and play a lot of games for us and be our number one. We expect some other guys to push him, but you know he's recovered quickly. It's an ongoing process, but we're very excited for him and where he's at. And just seeing him commit to trying to better himself and come in here, do the things he had to do, which were his decision in the end. You know, we suggest things, but it's on him to do it in the end, and he's done that, so we're really excited about him.
Carl Taylor is with us, head coach of the Milwaukee Admirals, and as you know, this organization is no stranger to finding defensemen, NHL defensemen. A lot have come up through the ranks, but a couple that I wanted to ask you about, one that was acquired via a trade. We saw Jeremy Davies some last year with this club. He's with the taxi squad a lot through the COVID protocols and everything. But watching him in camp, seeing his development after being in the organization for a couple of years, what are you seeing out of him?
I think he looks great. Like when we first got our hands on Jeremy, he came over in the PK trade. And with he was an offensive college player who needed to understand what being a pro and being positional, playing hard, not just defending but checking players and doing certain things. He had all this other stuff that was outstanding. We didn't want to change any of that. You know, we never want to make a skilled player a checker. We just want to get him to understand to complete the recipe for him to come here and be successful full-time, not just for a game or two. So Scott Ford works with our D, Greg Rallo, myself, we all do it together, but he's on the front lines, and we did tons of work with Jeremy in that area. He looks outstanding out here. He looks very confident. I think he's knocking on the door and giving himself an opportunity. I think he's right there in the mix, and the things he does offensively with the puck are special. He's worked really hard in that area his whole life. There's a point in your career where you've got to add the other things because you can't outskill what's occurring or your mistakes in other areas. So you have to stare him down and be honest, like we spoke about earlier, and recognize you need to make some changes to complete your game. He's done that. It's still a growth area, but he's going down the right path. He's right there knocking on the door.
And then the other one that he's been around a while was a draft pick in 2016, Freddie Allard, that's been coming up through the ranks. How's this camp going for him, and what are you seeing?
I think Freddie's in an interesting spot because he's almost like Alex last year. And when he's coming into the situation where he's fighting for himself and trying to stay as a prospect and not become that American League guy. And so he's trying to make a stand for himself, and I think he's doing a good job with it. He played the other night in the second game. I think he's a guy who is, again, fighting to find that opportunity. And he's kind of a tweener. He's a good skill, good puck mover. Does he do enough of that to go that route? But he's kind of trying to complete and have an all-around game. So he's a great personality in the room and does a great job within the team environment. We're excited to have him back in the organization. We'll see how it goes moving forward.
As somebody that, you know, follows some of the prospects, Igor Afanasyev is another one that is a name that a lot of Preds fans have been looking forward to seeing. Looks like, unless he makes this roster, that he'll be somebody that you could rely on this year as he continues to develop, coming over from playing overseas, going to the smaller ice. How is that development going?
Yeah, I think he's doing great. I kind of see him and Davey Ferentz are similar in different ways.
Yeah.
They're both really good young players, very skilled, very high level of natural instincts. And I think they both just need to understand to play within the structure and allow team systems and structure to protect them. They're both elite talents. I'm excited to work with both those kids. But we also, they understand they have to learn the pro game and how positioning and the system can protect them and allow their natural abilities to come out. It's just not understanding that you're not just playing hockey. There's a way to play within the system to allow what you do special to be revealed. And that'll be a process for both of them, but they're both very receptive to the coaching. And that's step one to having them understand where they're going and how they're going to move quicker instead of taking it longer.
Yeah, that's interesting you brought up. I was literally going to end on the way out with David Ferentz because I asked Hal Gill about him on Sunday, and he was really glowing about him. And, you know, I take notice of a guy who played 16 years on defense in the NHL, and he spoke very highly of him. He liked what he saw. Clearly, you do too.
Yeah, well, he played in the rookie tournament games, and his game was kind of all over the map a little bit, so we spent some time with him, watched some video, tried to explain to him that there's a way to play positionally to allow yourself to be available for certain opportunities. You know, he received the game very well, and we've seen a change in game three of the rookie tournament and then his first game the other night. Very positional, very sound, didn't force things, let things happen, picked his moments. He's learning, and it's important to understand the NHL is the best league in the world. These are elite talents, but it's a real process for them to understand the patience in your game and not forcing things, because they all feel they have to make something happen, and sometimes by doing less, they get to do more.
Yeah, good stuff. Carl, really appreciate the visit. Thanks for doing this. Glad the Admirals are back. Best of luck this season.
All right, thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
Thanks,
right,
Coach.
That is Carl Taylor, who is the head coach of the Milwaukee Admirals, and yes, it's been a while, but they are back. And you know what? We'll come back and wrap up Wednesday's edition of Darren Donick and Chase next.